Prayer as we come around the Word of God today. Father, we commit our hearts to you today. We commit our ways to you. Father, I ask that every one of us would respond to you as through your Word we learn of you. And we ask that your Spirit would teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're up to part three of characteristics of born-again Christians. Let's first of all look in John chapter 3. We learnt before, in the last two of the sermons in this series, we learnt that there is a spiritual birth, not just the natural birth, which all of mankind goes through, of course, just to be on the planet Earth. There is also a spiritual birth which brings you into the family of God. And we've learnt about that spiritual birth. What we have learnt is that it makes you into a new creature in Christ. And as a new creature in Christ, you have new characteristics, new features, things that are new in your life that have caused you to change. So first of all, we'll look at John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, unto Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The word "cannot" is very, very important. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Well, it's no wonder that those outside of Christ can't see the kingdom of God and indeed mock it. Verse 6 tells us the nature of the second birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So it's obvious that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So every one of us has a natural mother in the flesh. And we can see that that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is Spirit, little s. So what's born again when you're born again? Well, the Bible says that man is spirit, soul and body. Is your body born again? No. Is your soul born again? No. The Bible tells us here in verse 6 that your spirit is born again. And let's have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. When you're born again, there is a clear change on the inside of you. The Bible says you go from being an old man on the inside to being a new man on the inside of you. So no longer do you have the characteristics of the old inner man. You should have the characteristics of the new inner man. And those characteristics are what distinguish you from those who are not born again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And so it's very important for us to see that there is a way of newness. The Bible talks about newness of life. There is a way of newness, a new way for us. And so if we're new creatures in Christ, then there are new characteristics. We no longer have the old characteristics, the old man characteristics. And we went through the last time the first main characteristic, which was that our born-again spirit is not connected to sin. So we would expect that in the Christian's life there would be no habitual sinning, but in fact we would abhor, hate evil, hate sin. We would have the fear of God in us, and we would hate darkness. The scripture is very clear on this, and if we are not of that characteristic, then there's something wrong. But of course, The characteristic of a born again Christian, this first characteristic, is that you would not be sinning. And if you look at 1 John 5 verse 18, we'll just touch on this because I want to go into the other characteristics today. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18 says here, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not." And we'll just look at that first part of that verse. So the Bible is clear that if you're born of God, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. If you're born of God, then you will sin not. You sinneth not. And that's your characteristic. Now, of course, when you're born again, your mind is not born again, which is part of your soul. And so the Bible instructs us that we have to have mind renewal. The Bible says in Romans 12, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And also, of course, your body is not born again, is it? And there's various things you've trained your body prior to being born again in doing. And that needs to be retrained, realigned with the Spirit of God. And so therefore, we know that as Christians, these areas, the mind and the body, will be targeted by the enemy. And the Bible talks about casting down thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. So it's important for us to see that even though you may succumb to temptation, it is not a part of you to sin, okay? And if you do succumb to temptation and sin, then the Bible talks about being cleansed by the blood of Christ. Confess your sins to God and be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Now, we spent quite a lot of time on that. The next characteristic I want to look at is found in 1 John 5, verse 1. Verse 1. And this is that we believe that Jesus is the Christ. And if you look at 1 John 5 verse 1, it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." So there you are. Are you born of God? Well, if you are born of God, then you'll believe that Jesus is the Christ. Let me read the whole of that verse. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat," of course that's talking about God, "loveth him also that is begotten of him." That's talking about the brethren. Okay, so you'll love all of your brethren who are also begotten or born of God. Okay? So that's talking about a characteristic in us that if we believe, if we're born of God, then we'll believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now, this is important to get hold of. What it means is that the Lord Jesus Christ is exclusively the focus of your faith and life. In other words, you're not led to be thinking and to be oriented towards, oh, there's many ways to heaven, or there's many things that I can look to and I'll be right. Now, the Bible is very clear that we're to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, if we're born again, we're going to be people that will exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is really what this is talking about. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, what will you do? You will exalt the Lord Jesus Christ both in your life, in your heart, and also around you to others and so on. You'll be a witness in your life. Now let's look at this in a bit more detail. Look at John 14 verse 6. We should know this one off by heart. And this is one that emphasizes the exclusivity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is no other way except through him. No other way to God, the Father, except through him. John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So in your life, you will also be emphasizing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That he is indeed the Christ, that is the one who was sent. The Bible says sent to save his people from their sins. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ perfectly fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies relating to the Messiah coming, relating to his first coming, and then dying on the cross for our sins, become a curse for us, and then was raised from the dead, and he now lives. He now lives to intercede for us, praise the Lord. So Jesus made it very clear that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, those that are born of God will not only understand this, but reflect this. In other words, they will have their focus in their Christian life on the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope everyone can see what I'm saying there. Their focus will be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And their, well, if you remember what Paul said, to me, for me to live is Christ. Okay, so their focus will be on Christ continually. Look at Romans 10, verses 9 to 11. As a born-again Christian, you will know that your focus is indeed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, and for you to live is Christ as well. And the Bible also says that you're no longer living for yourself or unto yourself, but you're living unto him that died for you and rose from the dead. Important to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead as well. That's part of your believing in salvation. Romans 10 verse 9, we're going to verse 11, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Well, praise the Lord. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. He is your Lord. He is the one who is now your master. He is the head of the church. You confess with your mouth that there's no other Lord in your life, no other Lord but the Lord Jesus Christ. No other master. He's the master, capital M, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you believe in your heart. Your heart is your inner man. Okay? Where the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the spiritual inner man, not the blood pump. Very clear. Shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. You meet those two conditions. Jesus is your Lord, and you believe that in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Is the promise, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. And salvation is more than just you're on the way to heaven, but that's definitely part of it. Thou shalt be saved. You come right into the kingdom of God. You'll see the kingdom of God. You're born again. If you don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, you don't believe he's alive still today. Okay? And you don't believe his words. So part of believing that Jesus is the Christ is to believe what he said. In fact, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? So what he says is very, very important. His word is very, very important. And it's connected to him and his word. The Lord Jesus Christ and his word cannot be separated. Praise the Lord. So we see with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So obviously we were dead in trespasses and sins. Our righteousness outside of God was as filthy rags, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 64. So we know that our own righteousnesses were not enough to get us saved, not enough to get us into heaven. So what we need was a giving of God's righteousness. The Bible calls it the gift of righteousness. So we become right in God's eyes, and we have rights in God as well. And you see, so with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, that's unto God's righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, which is one very important reason why we get people, when they first come to Christ, to confess with their mouth that they repent of sin and that they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour from sin. So it's important for us to see that confession is made unto salvation. As it says there in verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, on Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. Okay, in other words, your faith is not in vain. Your faith is not, you know, God's not going to say, well, you know, I didn't really mean what I said there. No, you won't be ashamed, because if you meet the conditions of salvation, then, and you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are saved. You are born of God. Okay, so one of the characteristics, this is the second one we've gone through, is that you believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he is the focus of your life. Okay, he is the focus. Just like Paul said, to live is Christ. Okay, you're not living after any other God. Now, that means that a Christian's life will get rid of idolatry. Okay? That is putting anything else in God's place. And it is very, very dangerous to hold on to idols. Our society, the fact is that our society is more idolatrous than way back in the past, where they had statues and they were worshipping statues. It's far more idolatrous even now, because there are so many idols of the heart which put other things in God's place. Other things in God's place. And our focus, remember, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is first. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He's the one that started your faith, and he's the one that perfects your faith, brings it into finishing perfection, praise the Lord. Let's have a look also, before we go on to the third characteristic, let's look at Acts 4, verses 10 to 12. Just so that we seal within us this second characteristic. And I want you to remember these characteristics. The first one is that your heart no longer is inclined towards sin. You sin not. No habitual sinning. Okay. The second one is that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. So Christ is the focus of your life. All right. Very important. And Acts 4, verses 10 to 12, once again reiterates this. Acts 4, verses 10 to 12. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. I'm talking about a miracle that happened. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Once again, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ is exclusive. There's no other name, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So that tells us that there's only one true religion, there's only one true way, and that our focus has to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we came in through Christ, we live for and in and through Christ, and the Bible says that he dwells in our hearts by faith. And so we walk in this life not alone, because Jesus promised he would be with us even to the end of the world. We're not alone, and we have to make sure that our eyes are continually on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see that obviously one of the devil's tactics is to get your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your eyes off the Word of God and to get your eyes onto something else. Okay? And so it's one of those temptations that can come so that people look to other things. All right? And it's also the way where people can become backsliders and lukewarm. So what must we do? We must continually look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at the next characteristic, is that a born-again Christian will do righteousness and do works of righteousness. So if you look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. Now, obviously, when we're born again, we don't just sit and do nothing for the Lord. The Bible calls us servants of righteousness, servants of Christ, servants of God. We are no longer our own, the Bible tells us. And now there are things that God wants us to do in his kingdom, in his church. Okay? So it's important for us to understand this. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. And notice what it says there. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Once again, we see born of him. If you're born of God, then one of the characteristics is you'll be doing righteousness. You'll be doing it. We'll explain that in a bit more detail in a minute. So, you know that he is righteous, God is righteous. He's completely right, completely pure. Then you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Obviously, you're not doing righteousness to get born of him. It doesn't say that, does it? But it tells us that if you are born of him, born of God, born again, then you will be doing righteousness. You will be doing righteousness. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 10. Ephesians 2 verse 10. And we'll clarify what it means to be doing righteousness. Ephesians 2 verse 10. Now notice the wording very clearly here. The wording in Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in what? In the good works. Okay? You're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. When were you created in Christ Jesus? When you were born again. When you were born again, you were created in Christ Jesus. Okay? Because you became a new what? Creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The good works didn't come before, so then, oh, we'll get these good works and then we'll become new creatures in Christ. No, that's back to front. That's back to front. The right way is you become new creatures in Christ. You're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we would expect that out of a born-again Christian's life, there would be the good works starting to come. There would be the doing of righteousness. And the Bible very clearly says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's called walking in the truth. Okay? If you walk in the truth, what are you walking in? You're not walking in nothing, are you? You're walking in line with the Word of God. And so you'll be doing things in line with the Word of God. You will be, for example, praying. You will be, for example, fellowshipping. You will be helping the brethren. You will be helping the church. These are just some of the good works. And you will be, your whole inclination within you will be towards that. It won't be, I don't really want to help the church, but so that I look good, I'll do it. Well, that's what the Pharisees did, wasn't it? You know, they wanted to appear good before men so that off they... No. A born-again Christian, within them, they want to do it. They want to do good things for God. They want to do righteousness for God. Within them, there's this this whole desire. Have a look at Acts 10, verse 35. Acts 10, verse 35. Who is accepted in God? Who is accepted in God? Well, we've gone through how to be born again. We've talked about that quite a lot over these last three sermons. Acts 10, verse 35 says, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now, of course, we talked about the fear of the Lord is connected with that sinning not, didn't we? Because the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Okay? And we see today that one of the characteristics of a born-again Christian is that you'll be working righteousness. You'll be doing good works. Okay? And those type of people are accepted with God. Not because of their works, but because they have come into Christ. They've received Christ. They've come into Christ. And now they have within them the fear of the Lord. They have within them the desire to work righteousness. Can you see that? And so we know that if a person is truly born again, they won't be wanting to justify why they want to keep out of church. They won't be wanting to say, well, I looked at that man or that minister and he did all the wrong things. I don't want anything to do with that. And they make all types of justifications as to why they're not doing things for God. So a person who's really born again will not be looking to man but looking unto Christ. And we'll be saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm open. I'm open to doing what you want me to do. And the Lord will be able to use such a person. And we have to be of a soft heart to receive what he wants us to do. Okay? So I'm very much against someone just sitting back and doing nothing for the Lord, because it doesn't show anything about them and what they really want to do in their hearts. A person who really wants to do things in their for the Lord, it'll show out of their life. There's no doubt about that. If you look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. 1 John 3, verse 7. And once again, this emphasizes one of the characteristics, this third characteristic of doing righteousness. It emphasizes this in 1 John 3, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So you can see that it's evidence that you're righteous if you're doing righteousness. Okay, you're not doing works of righteousness to become righteous. But it's evidence that you are righteous if you're doing righteousness. Can everyone see what I'm saying there? Look also at verse 10, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So you can see that the children of the devil and the children of God are two different categories of people on the earth today. It's the children of God, and it says, "In this the children of God are manifest." What are the children of God doing? Well, they're doing righteousness, aren't they? What are the children of the devil doing? The Bible says, "Doeth not righteousness, and they're not of God." And so it's no wonder, it shouldn't be a surprise to look around the world today and see that those who aren't born again are doing all the wrong things, because it's evident that they're not righteous. They haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ. They haven't been cleansed from their sin. They haven't become righteous. And so, as the Bible says there, they're not doing righteousness. And that's evidence, and it's a manifestation. It's, as it says there, "In this the children of God are manifest," it's a manifestation of what they are. So if we were to ask born-again Christians, what's a manifestation of what you are, then there'll be this desire to do righteousness, and you'll be doing it. Praise the Lord. You won't need to be forced. The Bible talks about having a cheerful heart. You know, one of the works of righteousness is to give. Okay, you'll have a cheerful heart. You'll be doing things according to what God wants. If you look at verse 18 of that same chapter, it says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So what are we doing? We're doing it out of a heart which is in line with the truth, and we're doing it in deed and in truth. So you're not just doing it in word only, or we're just saying it with your tongue. You are doing it out of a heart that's been born again. Okay? And as we read before, if you're righteous, then you'll be doing righteousness. So we understand now that, and we should understand this very clearly, that there are characteristics associated with being born again. We've got a few more to go through, which we'll look at in the next sermon. We'll start with the next one we'll look at is, if you're born again, if you're born of God, you'll love the brethren. The Bible's very clear about that. The one after that we'll be looking at, if you're born again, or if you're born of God, you will overcome the world. You'll be a world overcomer. And if you're born again or born of God, you'll keep yourself pure. Now, it is evident that people are along different magnitudes of how much they've come along in these characteristics. Some are like little babies and barely developed. Others are quite developed in these areas. Nevertheless, if you're born again, those characteristics will be present. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your wonderful blessing in our life. We thank you, Lord, that we are born again because we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. Oh, we praise you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Father. And Father, we ask that you speak to our hearts, that we be witnesses, and as we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we grow more and more, our light would shine greater and greater unto the perfect day. Help every person here, I pray, Lord, every person to increase more and more in you. In Jesus' name, amen.